The passage that we have for today is Matthew 13, but we're not going to do the whole chapter. And it's about the good farmer. Now, this fall, I got the chance to get involved a little bit with harvest. That's a picture I took from inside the combine. Isn't that a nice picture? Just seeing that wheat pouring out of the combine auger there into a truck below. But my job was to drive the truck and drive it out of the field into the yard and get it, the grains, put it in the storage bins. But it didn't work out so well. And I was driving along nice until I heard the motor start going, and I thought, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, and I was stuck. It wasn't even wet, it was just soft soil, and the load was heavy. It took us an hour to get that truck out of the, and on the, going again. Because I dug in deep, right to the axles. But many moons ago, and I took this picture coming back from BC, many moons ago, it wasn't done with trucks and combines and tractors. It was done this way. And the farmer would go out with some sort of way to hold his grain, and he would throw it out. And that's what Jesus was talking about in this passage. Jesus talked about this farmer, and if you look in your passage, you'll find in Matthew 13, verses, well, actually starts at the beginning. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitude gathered together with him. So they got into a boat, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seed. Some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Some fell in stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked." God is personally creating opportunities to speak into your life. He gives us each a chance to listen. It might be to attend church. It might be a story. It might be the experience of a friend as they recount what God's been doing for them, how they've been succeeding in their search for God. Those are the seeds that get planted in your heart. And Jesus is using the picture of soil to represent the heart, the responsiveness of our hearts. He pointed out that some of the seed grew. It produced a crop. In verse 8, "But other seeds fell on the good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Verse 9, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." What really counts for a farmer is his harvest. He works hard, and remember last year, the rain came, and people could hardly, and many people did not get their crop in. And they were very discouraged. They'd put all the work in, and they just couldn't get out to the fields between the rain. And I watched the weather, and a lot of guys are done, but there's still a lot of guys who aren't done. And it's 2 days without rain, and it dries off, and then just to get out there again, and it rains again. They would like to get the fruit of their labor. They would like to get that crop off. But Jesus is not really talking about wheat, barley, canola. What is he talking about? What kind of fruit is God producing in your life? Really, only God knows if there is fruit. Really, only God knows how willing I am for that growth to happen. I can make a good front. I can present everything. I can say all the right words. So can you. But what does a heart really say to God? What were some of the things that were hindrances to that crop? The people listened to Jesus speak in parables. They asked this question, why do you speak to the people in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. And as soon as I read that, unto them, who is the them? In verse 11 there, Matthew 13, verse 11. Who is the them? The unbelievers. Well, okay, but Jesus was talking to very religious people. They did their religious practices faithfully because that was the thing that their culture demanded. Does that happen today? I went to a funeral yesterday. No, Friday. And I watched all those ceremonies. And my heart, I just was very sad. The priest said, we don't know for sure if this man made it to heaven. We can't know for sure. Because it depends on whether he did enough good works. It depends on the prayers of the other believers. It depends on... And he had a whole list of things that he told. He didn't mention it, but I know from the Catholic teachings that it depends on whether he does the right procedures in purgatory. They don't talk about it much, but it's still there in the teaching. Religious practices. Do they get us acceptance with God? Jesus answered it this way, verse 12. For whoever has, to him will be more given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And then he quotes a passage from Isaiah. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have closed. They have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn. So that I should heal them. And Jesus quoted what Isaiah the prophet had written about 800 years prior. This doesn't sound like the positive message that Jesus was giving, or the positive message we would like to convey that Jesus was giving. He's talking about people missing it. He knows that some people listen. He knows when you and I are willing to listen. Today, I didn't put together a really complicated, detailed presentation because I just wanted to talk today. I wanted to talk because I don't deserve to stand here and teach you. I am a human being who fails often. I'm just like you. God knows that. But the difference that God is looking for in my heart and in yours is, are we willing to be taught? Are we willing to listen to what God says? Because that will change us. It's not our religious practices. It's not our position. It's not our public presentation. It's whether we are willing to listen to God and what he says. Because if we, even as Jesus quoted Isaiah, if we are willing to listen, he will heal us. I think it's important to note that our ability to seek after God is actually given to us by God. I can't, and you can't, find God just whenever you figure, okay, I'm going to go look for God now. Because spiritually we're dead. Spiritually we have no desire for God's right and righteous ways. There are times when we look at life and say, you know what, I need to change. I need to smarten up. I need to, I like carols. I need to, what did you say?
Get serious.
That in and of itself is not enough. When God's Spirit starts to teach me, and I'm willing to listen, he will teach through his word. He will speak to me through the words of a friend. And when I'm willing to listen to what God says, he will change my heart. He will change your heart. But if he speaks and we don't listen, no change happens. If there's no diligence on my part or your part, that is not acceptable to God. His love is looking for a response of loyalty and commitment from my heart and from your heart. So many people are careless and do not see the importance of God in their lives. Our ability to seek after God is given to us by God. But if there's no diligence on your part or my part, that is not acceptable to God. His love is looking for a response of loyalty and commitment from us. You know, I watch so many people. I like watching people. This is dumb. But I sit in the mall. If my wife wants to go buy something and I'm not really interested in what she's buying, I just sit on the chair in the bench on there and watch people. And try to guess at what kind of job they have by the clothes they're wearing, or whether that person next to them is a relative, or just little things. God's watching us. But he doesn't have to guess, because he can read our very thoughts. He knows our very heart. And he's looking for the response from us that will show to him that we are willing to hear him, to listen to his instruction. Many people do not see the importance of God in their lives. They do not seek for him. And those people do not find him. When the people asked Jesus why he talked to them in parables or telling stories, he answered gladly, because there are people who are willing to listen. Are you and I one of those? Do we really listen? I'm afraid there are many times we don't. Has somebody ever told you a story? They're just rattling on. And you tune out. I do. Oops, I didn't get all the details of what, because maybe they stopped and asked me a question. And I realized, I wasn't paying attention. Matthew 13, verse 18 to 23, Jesus explains his story. And he said in 18, therefore hear the parable of the sower. These people to whom the seed represents, going into their heart. The soil represents their heart. The seed is his truth. These are the ones who are willing to listen. but not even all of them profits from it. Because there are four different responses. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. Now, the first kind of response was a hard heart, a little bit like the path. And when you plant seeds on the path, how much growth is it? None. First of all, it didn't go in. And second, there were a lot of birds that enjoyed having some lunch. Who do the birds represent? Well, the passage says Satan is always trying, the wicked one is always trying to keep us from coming to God. He is always trying to distract each of us. So what does the hard soil of the path represent? Maybe people who are too busy. Are you too busy to hear God's voice? Billy over here, he's been working really hard to get Bill Coma's truck working. And it's been a pain, right? He had to take the whole dash out. Now, when I'm working on a car, I can get pretty frustrated. And I've heard people, when they're working on the cars, they use all sorts of language that they shouldn't use. And if I'm around, sometimes they say, oh, sorry. I always tell them, I'm not really worried about that part. You just know you're in trouble if you hear me swearing. It's intended to be funny, but really, really, when we're going through hard things, we're busy. Are we thinking about God? Not really. And yet some people use his name as though it was part of their conversation. Are they thinking about God? No. Those people would come under the category of having a hard heart. They're not listening to God's Spirit. They're just going about their own stuff, busy on the path. So Jesus talks about that type of person being one of the people who do hear, but they don't use it. They don't let it in. He uses the word understand right there, the second line. Does not understand what he was saying. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. You and I can say, well, I don't really understand this Bible stuff. I do know this much. Andrea, if you were driving down the road and came up just off your Range Road there and got on the highway and there was an orange sign that said, bridge out ahead. I know that you would stop. You'd find a different way. Maybe go up 2 miles and come around. You understood the sign. And you would do something about it. That's what Jesus is talking about. The message is presented, but nothing is done about it. They didn't understand. Are we going to be like those people who did nothing? Or are we going to be like the second group? He who received the seed on stony places is like he who receives the word and immediately receives it with joy. And I've seen a few people like that. Sometimes I've been that person. All enthusiastic, and maybe you heard about Jesus at a big meeting. There was lots of hype, and it was lots of music and bright lights, and it was exciting. I remember one of those times when I was a young person. Jesus is not exactly impressed with this either. Because what happens? Verse 21. Yet he has no root, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution, troubles arise because of being a Christian or because of the Word of God, this person immediately stumbles. And says, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. Count me out. It's too hard. Did that one produce any crop, any fruit for God? No. Then there's a third one. Now he who receives the seed among thorns is he who hears the word and cares the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. If any of you have ever grown a garden here in Alberta or on the prairies, you know about Canadian thistles. So that's why I went and looked for a picture of Canadian thistles. They're a pain. They grow fast. They grow three times as fast as the stuff that you're trying to grow. And if you let them grow, they shade the other plants to the point that the other ones don't produce anything. I tried it one year. I was lazy. It got so bad I had to use the lawnmower. It choked out what God had planned for those good plants. And if I let the cares of this world overwhelm me, preoccupy my mind, what God has in mind to grow in my heart in faith and response to Him gets choked out. It's a caution we need to watch. 22. Now he who received the seed amongst the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. We're better off if we're poor, right? You know what's wrong with a poor man? He's wanting the money. And what's wrong with a rich man? He's believing in and trusting in his money. Both of them are preoccupied with something other than God. There are some, and let's be amongst that group. He who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So I asked the farmer that I was hauling for, I said, how much grain are you taking off? Oh, he says, this is pretty good. I'm getting 105 bushels an acre. So I asked him, how many bushels did you have to put in to get it? And he said, 3 per acre. So how much was it multiplied? He got 34 bushel times the number he put in. So that one little seed that he put in produced 33 or 34 more seeds. Another farmer told me that he put in about 2. So, and he was getting 105, 110. So he was pushing closer to 50 or 60 times what he put in. And I bet you he was all the more happy. Because his work was productive. He was being paid back for the effort of the summer. What counts is the harvest. What fruit is your life producing? Or are you so busy just doing the routines that nothing's happening in your life? Is there a willingness in your heart for God to grow His fruit, His, what He's looking for in your life? Is there a willingness? What is the message that captures the whole purpose of our existing here on earth? Well, it's pretty simple, and yet it hits us square between the eyes. God, pardon me, God is perfect. Everything that around him must be perfect. I'm perfect.
No.
Are you? So what are our chances? Because everything that exists in God's presence must be perfect. A substandard does not exist. Are we going to make it? David, are you good enough to make it to heaven? I mean, look at, that's one of our elders. And he says no. Dennis, are you good enough to make it to heaven?
I try to be.
You try to be, okay. So you mean there's a possibility that isn't good enough?
We are never good enough.
Good answer. Same as David's in. Carol, are you going to make it to heaven? Are you?
Now I am, yes.
Yes, okay. On what basis can you give a more affirmative answer than those two? I changed the question just slightly, if you noticed.
Because Jesus shed his blood for my sins.
And how could his blood do any good for me? How? What kind of life did he live?
Perfect life.
What's different about Jesus is he was God living amongst us. God is perfect. He could offer that human life, a perfect life, in my place. Now, when I was growing up, I thought, wouldn't it use up all the goodness that he had for all of these bad people? What's the limit of perfection? Isn't it pretty close, the same thing as infinite? If it's perfectly good, there's no limit to it, right? He is perfectly good. His righteousness is complete. It's perfect. There's enough of it for all of us. Now, I'm going to pick on Jeff. Jeff is a billionaire for this split second. He's wishing for the rest of the time, but it's not happening. And Melody has got a $10,000 fine she has to pay. And she was brave enough to tell us. And Jeff says, "Hey, Melody, I've known you for a little while, and I know you're in a pickle. I'll pay it." So David says, "You know what, Jeff, I got a problem too. And Dennis and Tiki and Andrea, everybody pipes up and says, I got a problem. Are we going to exhaust Jeff's $1 billion? I don't think so. And the righteousness of Jesus for paying for our sins is multiple times more efficient, greater than $1 billion for the bills that we have, the problems we have. We can never exhaust it. However, Melody, no, let's pick on Rose here. Rose has a $12,000 something credit card she has to pay off. She's trying that on her own. $100 a month. I don't think she's going to get done, right? And Jeff says, "Rose, can I help you?" She says, "No, I'm going to do it on my own. I am trying hard." So Jeff says, "Okay, you do it your way. However, here's a check. If you want to pay, take my offer, take it." So Rose takes the $12,000 check and puts it in her purse. Leaves it there. She even says to herself, "I got this taken care of. I got a $12,000 check. in my purse. Is her problem taken care of? No. Was the solution available? But until she takes that check and puts it in the bank and has the bank apply it to her credit card debt, it's still a problem. So it is with us. Jesus has paid for every one of our sins. Everything can be taken care of. But if you and I don't respond, if we don't say, yes, please, please forgive me. I know that there is no other way to satisfy God's righteousness other than what Jesus did for me. I cash in on that. And last Sunday, your son-in-law said, I surrender. You know what our problem is? I still want to do it. I want to pay it off myself. I want to prove to God that I am worth something. Please look at me because I am worth a little bit to you. I'm at least trying. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for me to surrender to what he has already done. It works. His plan is good. When we're willing to bow and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. You have paid it for me. I am grateful. Out of that gratefulness comes what you were talking about, Dennis. The willingness to show God that I'm sincere. I can never rely on my own righteousness, but I can still show God my gratitude for what he did by the way that I live. The changes that I allow him to make in my life, you allow him to make in your life. So, if I'm really grateful to God for what he did through Jesus Christ, and are you going to hear out of my lips, ah, Jesus Christ, this! Damn it! No, it'll start changing. Because all of a sudden, I have respect for that name. I have respect for that person who did it for me. Paid what I deserved with his own life. That's the good news. And if you understand, if your heart is receptive, that will change your whole perspective. That will change how you respond to God. It's not about coming to church. Coming to church is part of celebrating what God did for us. It's enjoying him, enjoying each other. All the righteous things, all the religious things that we do not impress God. They are expressions of our appreciation of him and what he's done for us. There's what I want to talk to you about today. And if you would like to talk to me, I'd gladly talk to you about it. You want to challenge something I said? I'll gladly do that. Some people make it tough, but I come up with some sort of answer because I know where to go look for an answer. And we can get it back to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person here, but I thank you most of all for Jesus Christ and what he did for us and the message that he conveyed to us through the written word, that we can be forgiven of our sins, that we can enter into an eternal, happy relationship with you that will last beyond this life into eternity. We ask for you to speak to our hearts that we might be receptive, we might listen and be healed. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as is our tradition, there's some good stuff. I never know what it is because people bring it in and it's a potluck, but I have never been disappointed. If you're willing to stay for a little while, you can share with us and have lunch with us. So I see you downstairs.